Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jamudirayet Nashta Preshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 14. Rishabhada's appearance. Kova ihate parajito parajitaya. Maya yana vasita padavyana vrita matir. Vishaya visharayana vrita prakritir. Anupasita mahacharanaha. Kahava. Who is that person? Iha. Within this material world. Te. Of your lordship. Aparajitaha. Not conquered. Aparajitaya. By the unconquerable. Mayaya. Illusory energy. Anavasita padavya. Whose path cannot be ascertained. Anavrita matihi. Whose intelligence is not bewildered. Vishaya visha. Of material enjoyment, which is like poison. Raya, by the course. Anavrita, not covered. Prakritihi, whose nature. Anupasita, without worshipping. Mahatcharana, the lotus feet of great devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Purport. Maharaj Nabi was inclined to performing great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Everyone is subjected to the influence of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desire, and Maharaj Nabi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees, Ma Charana Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot be freed from Maya's influence. Janartam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paye Che Keba. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava? Maya is aparajita, and her influence is also aparajita. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault on Maharaj Nabi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best of all sons. By the association of the Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:54. Sadhu Sanghe Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastrakoi Lava Matra Sadhu Sanghe Sarva Siddhihai. And Madhya, 22:51. Amahat Kripa Vinakuna Karme Bhakti Naya Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahu Samsara Nahekshaya. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home, back to Godhead, one must associate with the sadhu, devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot get freedom from by any means. Certainly a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without sadhu sangha. The benediction of a great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32, Prabhupada Maharaj says, Naisha mati stavat urukrama angrim sprishati anartha pagamo yadartaha mahiya sampada rajo bishekam nishkinchana namna vrinitayavat. One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head. Pada rajo bishekam. A pure devotee is Nishkinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee in order to attain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence. Translation: Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the ways of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how is it working. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this verse, these are the priests of Maharaj Nabhi. They speak to Lord Vishnu. As Maharaj Nabhi was performing a great sacrifice to get a son, and he wanted to please the Lord Vishnu. So his priests, the Brahmins, they were performing the sacrifice, and the Lord appeared in the sacrifice in his forearm form, Vishnu. And the priests, they started to offer prayers. So in this verse, these Brahmins, they are very intelligent. They could understand that actually only someone who can get the mercy of a pure devotee actually can become free from Maya, from the illusory energy. There is no other way, no other possibility. Here it says that your illusory energy is unconquerable. This is also the point that Srila Prabhupada made in the purport, that one can get only the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of a devotee. And we chant Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadam Yasya Prasada Nagari Kudapi. So that's what it means. If we please the devotee, then we please the Lord. It's very simple. We can see that how we came here, why we're here. Is it because of our great pious activities in the past, or is it because of our great knowledge? We're always philosophers, thinkers, always looking for something spiritual. Nothing of that actually. This bhakti comes only from bhakti. It doesn't come from anything else. Here it says, sadhu sanga sarva shastrakoy lava matre sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. But one can get actually just this lava matra. This lava matra is very small moment. It's not even a second. So by that association of a sadhu, of a saintly person, then one can achieve all perfection in life. And that's the main point actually of this verse. And Srila Prabhupada is actually explaining that we can only get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through a pure devotee, His causeless mercy. So we are all here because Srila Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan and he went to the West to spread this movement. So by the mercy of devotees, we also get the chance to start practice our spiritual life. Even to become a Brahma, actually, it requires a lot of pious activities. They say to follow for 100 lives, you have to follow strictly the Varnashram rules to become a Brahma in your life. And to become a devotee, actually, it requires even more piety than to become a Brahma. Much more Sukriti. So you can see how great is actually the mercy of the devotee, that by his association we get so much Sukriti. There's no material comparison to it. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. It's a verse from Bhagavad Gita. We can see how everything is connected in Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, or to Bhagavad Gita and to Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually. There's four verses that are quoted in the purport, and they are both Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this great king, Maharaj Nabhi, he was the son of Maharaj Agnira. He was a great king, pious king. This is Maharaj. Maharaj means a great king. So he wanted to get a son, basically. In the Varnashram culture, it's very important to have a son, because the son can actually do the Shraddha ceremony, and then the tradition is not lost, it continues. Then actually the forefathers, they can stay in the heavenly planets. So actually he got a material desire to fulfill, but still he approached the Lord to fulfill his desire. He didn't go to the demigods. So that's actually the greatness. That's why he's being spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because there are many kings in the past, they performed so many karmakanda sacrifices, but they are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Nabhi is mentioned because even though he got material desire, still he wanted to fulfill the desire on it by the mercy of the Lord, not otherwise. So that's why he approached his Brahmins, his priests, to perform the sacrifice to get the son to please the Lord Vishnu. So what actually Maharaj Nabi, what he did, that Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yat karoshi yadashinasi yadjyosi dadasi yat tapasyasi kantya tat kurushvama darpanam. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering to me. It's very interesting to see actually how it's connected and how even these great kings, this Maharish, Maharaj, this also they're called Rajarishis, they are following this Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita says, Evam parampara pratam imam Rajarishaya viduhu. So Rajarishaya, they follow Bhagavad Gita actually. So that's what he did. He was actually performing this sacrifice just to please the Lord so that he can get a son. But the Brahmins, they're actually more intelligent than the king because they regretted that they are performing the sacrifice for a material benefit. So they're actually more advanced. That's why they are also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And here in this verse, we can actually see what is the difference between what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in that verse, Yad Karoshi Yadashinasi, and that verse, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Savra Dharma Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Does anyone can say what is the difference between these two verses? Because basically it looks like the same thing, but there is a difference. The first one is that whatever you do, whatever you eat or offer, do that as an offering to me. That's what Krishna says. And the other one is just abandon all kinds of religion and just surrender it to me. So what is the difference between these two concepts? Because it looks very similar. And this is what Maharaj Nabi is doing. He's doing Yat Karoshi Yadashinasi. But the Brahmins, they're lamenting because they want to do Sarva Dharma Parityajam. So that's why they lament and they spoke these beautiful prayers. Yes? You put your will first. Yeah. And the other one? Yeah. Yeah, that's the point actually. The first one is basically it's karma yoga. That I want to do something, some activity, so I'll do it, I'll get the result and then offer that to Krishna. So that's basically karma yoga. Because that element of karma, the activity, is prominent. That's why it's called the karma yoga. The other one, sarva dharma parityajam, basically that we surrender everything. So our purpose is to please the Lord. That's what we want. That's our goal. So we want to please the Lord, but at the same time we see that in our heart there's still some material desires. So we look at these material desires, what they are, and then we try to connect them to the Lord. But our purpose is ultimately to please the Lord. So that's called the Ananya Bhakti. It's unalloyed devotion. We want to please the Lord. So that when we come to this movement, we'll basically, many devotees, they leave everything to join ISKCON. But after some time, they found actually that they have to get married and get back to the family life. So basically, that's Ananya Bhakti. And the other one is that I know what I want to do in my life. And then I found the Krishna consciousness, so I offered the results to Krishna. So that's the difference actually. The first one, the karma yoga, that we do the activity, then with knowledge of Krishna, with detachment, while remembering Krishna, and in order to please Krishna. So that's called also the buddhi yoga. And the other one is that actually we want to please the Lord first, and then we find what is our conditioned nature, and engage that in the Lord's service. So basically that's the difference between these two concepts. And the other one, Sarva Dharma Parityajam, that's also Krishna explained many times explained also in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavat Mad Bhakto. He also explained again many times during the Bhagavad Gita. Ultimately, that's one of the last instructions in the 18th chapter also, Manmana Bhavat Mad Bhakto. So that's what Krishna wants from us, to perform this pure unalloyed devotional service. It's called Anyabhilashita Shunyam. It's without any tinge of karma and jnana. So it means that actually that element of karma is not, and jnana is not prominent in our devotional life. What is prominent is we want to please the Lord. Whatever we do, it doesn't matter if someone is a gardener or cook or giving classes or dressing the deity, whatever. We do that to please the Lord. That's our purpose. So that's what we have to always remember if we're going to do our duties, that we do it to please the Lord. Not that we first do the duties and then we offer the results to the Lord. You know. Because Krishna is only explained in the bhakti. He's not explained in the... He's not actually interested. He's not interested in our... in our fruits of our activities. It all belongs to Him anyway. It doesn't belong to us. It's like the small child that comes to his father and brings him some nice food. They say, oh, this is for you. But the Lord, the father, he knows he bought this food, so it belongs to him. But he's very happy because he sees the child wants to please him with the nice food. So, it's a very nice relationship. So that's how our relationship with Krishna should be. Actually, it all belongs to Him. But we want to please Him by that. So it's only the fruits of our actions, they're only used as a medium to express our devotion to the Lord. Another connection with this verse with Bhagavad Gita would be actually here explains that if one doesn't worship the lotus feet of the great devotees, he becomes conquered by the illusory energy and his intelligence may be bewildered. So in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, there Krishna explains actually that if someone contemplates the sense objects, then he develops attachment for them. Then from attachment, the lust arises. Then the anger comes. So when the anger comes, then there is a delusion. And from delusion, there is a bewilderment of memory. And from bewilderment of memory, the intelligence is lost. And then one falls down to the material pool. We can see how much dangerous it is actually to feed the lust. It's very dangerous. It brings only suffering. It doesn't bring the real satisfaction. So we have to turn the lust into love for Krishna. That's our purpose. That's why we are here. And those who do not try, then they actually experience only poison. Here it says, indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison. As also Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that the mood of passion in the beginning tastes like, it tastes very sweet, and in the end it's a poison. So the same thing the Brahmins explain, that is actually a poison. And there's no one in the material world who was not carried away by the material enjoyment. That's why we are here. You're still here. It's Kali Yuga. It's half of the life of Brahma, which means more than 150 trillion years. And we are still here. So it means we got bewildered by the material enjoyment. And we got only a poison. We didn't get the nectar we're looking for. Because everyone is looking for nectar. Everyone is looking for this ananda. Ananda maya vyasat. That's actually the nature of the living entity, to experience the spiritual bliss. But being illusioned under the influence of the false ego, then the living entity thinks the doer of activities and becomes bewildered. So to overcome actually this material energy, Krishna explains, very difficult. Daivesha gunamaya mamaya duratyaya. But those who surrender to Krishna, they can easily cross beyond it. It says that this material ocean, it's so great. This is the Viraj River. It's the Garbhodakan, this is the Karana ocean. It's very, very huge, vast, very difficult to cross. Very, very difficult. But it says that actually, by the mercy of the spiritual master, this great ocean becomes small like a calf's hoofprint. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So that's what we have to strive for, to get the mercy of the spiritual master, to get the mercy of the devotees. So we can see this is the difference between the three stages of devotional life, between the Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, Adhikari. Because the Kanishta Adhikari can appreciate that the Krishna is in the temple, the Lord is in the temple, and can appreciate Guru. And then, when the Kanishta Adhikari starts to appreciate the other devotees also, then the Madhyama platform starts. So you can see how important it is actually, because this movement is for the Madhyamas. Madhyama means also a preacher. So this movement is it's actually a preaching movement. And it's meant for the Madhyamas. Even we can see Srila Prabhupada, even though he's Uttama Adhikari, he's acting on the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. As a preacher, traveling all over the world, 12 times, trying to open as many temples as possible, make so many devotees. So that's a Madhyama platform. So we should all try to at least come to that platform of Madhyama. Because there the pure devotion starts from the platform of Nishta. It's a platform when we become fixed in our devotional service. Here it says that one cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head. Padaraja bhishekam. So what does it mean to put the dust on our head? What does it mean? Yes? Yeah. To serve, basically, the dust, the lotus dust from the devotee's feet, actually it represents the instructions of the devotee. And to take the dust on our head means we follow those instructions. So it's also physically, we put the dust, from the obeisances, we put the dust on our head. Like in the Vedic culture, the children, they are supposed to pay obeisances to their parents, and they touch with the right hand, they touch the right feet with the left and the left feet, and they put the dust on their head. It means that they surrender to their parents and they are willing to follow their instructions. Such a beautiful culture, actually. And it's all based on following the authority. Respect for the authority. And this is very important to learn, that actually, we are not the controllers or enjoyers. So we have to actually surrender to the authority. And Guru represents Krishna. Guru is a position that first Guru is Krishna, Adi Guru, Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda. And all the other Gurus, they follow them. So that basically there is only one Guru. There's the only one conclusion of the Vedas. You can see there are so many contradictions. But if you look more into these contradictions, they're actually not contradictions, and they all have the same purpose and the meaning. So that position of Guru must be always respected. And then there is the person who is actually occupying position, but is not identifying with that position. That's the difference, the kshetra and the kshetragna. Kshetragna means that the knower of the field, and kshetra means the field. So the Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is actually also kshetragna. He knows all the material energy, all kshetra, all the fields of all the bodies of all living entities. But the living being is also kshetragna, but he knows only his body. Like, I know what is happening in my body. I know all the pains and different things, and I don't know about you. Yeah. So similar, the guru, the person who occupies the position of a guru doesn't identify with that position. He himself sees as the servant of his disciples. Because that's what we are. Jivara Swarupa Nityera Krishna Das. We're all servants, actually. There's different positions that we can have in this world, from being leaders in the society, or managers, or businessmen. Basically, the four varnas and four ashrams means there are different positions in the social system. But one shouldn't identify with them. Because when the Vedas, when they mention the word jnana, that's what jnana means. It means to know the chit, achit, and ishvara. So it means prakriti, the material nature, the controller behind it, and the living entities. So that's what the knowledge means. So we have to apply the knowledge also. It's not that we just hear it and we do something else. There's the first stage in learning. There's the three stages, basically, in learning. The first one is Shravanam, when we hear the knowledge. Then there is a Manana. There's a stage when we contemplate the knowledge that we heard, and then we try to apply it in our life. So that's the Manana stage. And then it leads to Nididhyasana, which actually means that we get the realization from what we have applied, the knowledge in our life. So unless we apply this knowledge in our life, that we cannot get the realization that we are not this body. So basically, as I explained the difference between these two verses, Yat Karoshi and Sarvadharman Parityajam, the difference, do you know, there's one word you can define what's the difference. Huh? Both there is surrender. First one, there is also surrender, but not full. How is it? Yeah, surrender, but what it means, surrender? The word I'm looking for is actually consciousness. The difference is in the consciousness. Because as we are not the controllers or the enjoyers, we have no control over this material nature, this material body. But the only control we have is over our consciousness. That's why it is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because that's where our part is. It's the consciousness, and we have a control over it. What do we want? What is our desire? It's very important. Because if the consciousness changes, then everything else will change. Like Srila Prabhupada, he would say when someone comes, he would say that you don't have to change your life. What do? You change your consciousness. Because if you change your consciousness, your activities will also change. That's the sambandha aspect, the identity, who we are. If we identify with this body, then the abhideya, the process or our activities, they'll be also materialistic. And the result or the prayojan we're looking for would be sense gratification. But if our consciousness is put rightly, our identity as a servant of Krishna, servant of the devotees, then the activity will be also devotional, And the result will be our love of God, love of Krishna. So we have to put right our consciousness. That's why we are here. So it's very important. We are actually working here with the consciousness. And that's why these brahmanas, they're lamenting actually here. They're offering prayers, but they're at the same time lamenting that their purpose to perform the sacrifice to please the Lord was material. Their consciousness wasn't right, because they're acting actually on the behalf of the king. So they actually wanted the pure devotional service, not just the karma yoga. So that's the element of consciousness that we're actually working here. And here it says that the pure devotee is nishkinchana. It's actually no material desire to enjoy the material world. We can see another example from the Bhagavatam would be Kardama Muni. He's a brahmachari basically. He's practicing brahmachari in the forest, doing austerities for a long time. But still, he knows that he has some material desires. So he wants to get rid of these desires. But he can't get rid of them just by the sadhana. So he offers the prayers to the Lord to get him a suitable wife, so that he can actually engage his material desires properly and get purified from those material desires. And then the Lord appeared to him and he told him that what you are praying for, I've already arranged for you. Because the Lord, he knows what our desires are. So we have to be very careful what we want. Because the Lord, he already knows, so he can arrange that. If that is good for us, then he will arrange it. If not, no. Then no. So Kardama Muni actually is also doing this Ananya Bhakti, pure devotion. One can say, one can question it, how is it a pure devotee? He has the material desires. Basically, he wants a wife, he wants a material life. How is he a pure devotee? But here I already explained, the consciousness, he wants to please the Lord. That's why he does a sadhana, that's why he practices brahmacharya. And he wants to also get rid of his material desires, because he wants to fully please the Lord. So then the Lord arranges a suitable wife for him. So it's the example of this Ananya Bhakti, Sarva Dharma Parityajam. And we can take actually example from those great personalities, because that's what the Bhagavatam is mentioned for, actually. It shows us the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and the practical stories, how it happened in the duration of this universe. All these different stories, it's not a mythology. They all happened, and we can all learn from those examples of those devotees how they actually surrendered to the Lord, how they did it in their spiritual life. Like Ajamil. Ajamil, the word Ajamil in Sanskrit means it never happened before, it will never happen again. His case is exceptional. It's the only case. On the whole duration of this universe in the Brahma's life, 311 trillion years, there's only one person like Ajamil. You all know the story of Ajamil, right? Basically, he got the best birth you can get in the Brahmin's family, the best education, he got the best wife, got the best family. Everything was the best, but when he was 15 years old, He got overwhelmed by lust for a prostitute. So because of that, he left everything. He left his family and he wanted to enjoy with the prostitute. And then at the end of his life, when he was around 80 years old, then he got a son, which is called Narayan. And at the time of that, he called for his son, Narayan. But when he left his family, and when he left this Brahmanical character, he became very sinful, actually. And he was doing so many bad things, like killing people for money, robbing people, doing so many bad things, basically. So much sinful for a whole life, till the end. And then he calls for Narayan, his son. So this is Namabhas. Namabhas means is the second stage of on chanting of the holy name, basically, without offenses. So he was actually chanting offenselessly the holy name of Narayan. And because of that, in the time of that, he was saved from the Yamadutas. And the Vishnudutas, they came and they saved him. And after that, he left the prostitute and his family, and he went to ashram to fully surrender to the Lord. So he actually attained the perfection. So that's the beauty of this Bhagavatam, actually. This is our main book we have. This is the book we follow. You can see how many times Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam with his followers and disciples. They would cry and cry while reading different stories from the Bhagavatam. They would cry so much that then after some time they had to get a new copy of the Bhagavatam, because it got completely destroyed. Yeah. So the conclusion is that we should all strive for this Ananya Bhakti. We should all strive to whatever we do to please the Lord. Then our life would become sublime. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. Is there any questions or comments? Yes. Yeah, it looks like a contradiction. Oh, very good question, actually. The question was that actually Srila Prabhupada explained that we don't have to change our position, we have to change our consciousness. So when we have material desires, then we don't have to change our position, we just change our consciousness. Yeah, so as I already explained, it's the consciousness that is actually the main point, and we can see from the example of, like for example, someone drives a car. There's a non-devotee drives a car or devotee drives a car. Basically, the car works the same. It's the same. The engine works in the same way. It's not because the devotee is driving a car, the car is flying over the road. Unless you are a King Yudhishthir, that your chariot by your piety can fly above, then it works the same, basically. So what's the difference? The difference is the consciousness. So the devotee drives the car to please the Lord, to perform devotional service. And the non-devotee drives the car for his son's gratification. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he saw all this car, he says, they're like a dogs on the four wheels. What's the difference there? The dogs are on the four feet running, and these cars are on four legs or four wheels running for the sense gratification. That was the point. They're running for sense gratification. So basically, when we change the consciousness, then the body becomes spiritualized. Actually, the body works within the three modes of material nature. So that body, we can't change our conditioned nature. It's set up already, and we are in this body, so we have to deal with it. But when the consciousness becomes spiritual, we become connected to Guru Parampara, then this body becomes spiritualized. It means it becomes endued by the potency, chit potency, the spiritual potency. So these three modes that are acting in the body, then they start to act they start to act basically like as a samvit, sandini, and hladini potency. Because the three modes of material nature, they are a reflection of those potencies from the spiritual world, basically. So I already explained that when the consciousness where our identity is right, then the activities will be also right. So if someone has material desires, then it's no problem if someone is married or not. So in the married life, actually, if one does his duties properly, with the intention to please the Lord, then there is no problem with the married life, actually. The problem comes when we identify with that position, that we are in that position, that's kshetra, that body, that field of activities. When we identify, then that's a problem. So we do, when we identify who we really are, the servants of the devotees, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala Dasa Dasa and Das, then our position also becomes right, basically. Is that enough as a question? Or? Yeah. We have the material desires, but as I already explained, we come here, we want to please the Lord, and then we find what our desires are, then we try to connect them to the Lord. Because there's a culture, actually, this culture teaches us how we can connect everything in our life, our daily activities, how everything can be connected to the Lord. Like we're taking bath. Basically, it's not like a devotional service, but because you take a bath, you go to the temple for the morning program, then you meditate on the Lord, you want to be clean for the morning program, that becomes devotional service. Basically, like when you cut the vegetables, you prepare for the cooking. Technically, it's not cooking. But we call it the cooking because you're preparing for it. So it's a part of the process. So to actually get purified from these material desires, it's a part of the devotional process. And then, because bhakti, devotional service, actually begins on the platform of prema. So we have these eight platforms. We start from the Shraddha, go Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, and so on. But the real bhakti, actually, that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the real bhakti starts on the platform of prema, basically. So it's the last point. That's where it starts, the real pure devotional service. So up to that point, actually, it's a purification and preparation for that pure devotional service. Well, we call it a devotional service. It's like the example with the vegetables and the cooking, cutting the vegetables and the cooking. We call it a cooking, but technically cooking is when you put the vegetables on the fire and you stir them, that's cooking. So the consciousness, well, actually, that's the key. And we understand how this mind works. That's why it's important to know this chit, achit, and ishvara, is the material energy, how it works. When we understand how the mind works, actually, it works on two principles. There's sankalpa and vikalpa. So sankalpa means accepting, vikalpa means rejecting. It's also the process of the Ashtanga Yoga, the eight limbs. That first is yama and niyama. So it's the same thing. We accept what is favorable for a practice and reject what is not favorable. So the mind works in that way. Actually, so when there are some desires that we can't connect to the Lord and enter our mind, then we just reject them. I don't want this, I want Krishna. So then the mind can actually, you can set up the mind, it's in a moment, it's called nimesha. It's actually a blink of eye, you can catch the mind. If you catch the mind in a blink of eye, then you got it, you got a Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada says you can become a pure devotee in a moment. So that's what it means. You catch the mind in a moment, you get it. You know? So that we're working here with the mind. We're trying to connect it to the Lord, basically. Yeah. Is there any other question? And or comment. What time are we supposed to finish? Already. Huh? Okay. So thank you for your attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.